ministry of the word.
Morning, church. We're going to read Psalm 101 today. I will sing of your steadfast love and justice. To you, O Lord, I will make music. I will ponder the way that is blameless. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk with integrity of heart within my house. I will set before my eyes anything that is worthless. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. A perverse heart shall be far from me. I will know nothing of evil. Whoever slanders his neighbor secretly, I will destroy. Whoever has a haughty look and an arrogant heart, I will not endure. I will look with favor on the faithful in the land, that they may dwell with me. He who walks in the way that is blameless shall minister to me. No one who practices deceit shall dwell in my house. No one who utters lies shall continue before my eyes. Morning by morning, I will destroy all the wicked in the land, cutting off all the evildoers from the city of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. Thanks, David, for reading our word today, or God's word. And we are glad that you're here to ring in 2025. I know that 2024 is gone, and whether you're ready or not, we are here, and we're glad you're here. We're going to talk about that today, but I'm just so thankful that you're here. Man, we've had, you know, we're supposed to get this major Big Daddy winter storm. It sort of went north, but we still got the rain and the cold. Thank you for getting out today. Thank you for coming. I love the song, the new song that we just sang, the last song we sang. Jordan introduced it because, man, I think it's a great theme for this year. I think that God's glory and our good, his glory and our good, what a great theme. Romans 8:28 has become one of my absolute most meaningful verses because, man, you know, if you've lived enough life, you know that there's a lot of mountaintops in life, but there's a lot of valleys. There's a lot of great things, and there is a lot of suffering and terrible things. And Romans 8:28 promises that all those things God's in control of, meaning nothing is arbitrary, and meaning that everything that happens is a part of God's plan some way for his glory and your good. So you need to memorize that verse and let that be the theme for this year, maybe for your life, is his glory and our good. And so again, thank you for being here. We're starting a brand new series called Integrity 101. I thought this would be an incredible start for the new year to talk about something that's desperately lacking in our world, desperately needed in our world, and can make a really, really, really huge impact in our world. So we're gonna be talking about integrity for the next 4 weeks. I hope you come back, bring someone with you as we look and dive into integrity. Now, I heard a story of a mama who had two little boys, single mom, and her boys were bad boys, you know, sort of like me when I was a boy, and she couldn't do anything with them. She was at her wit's end. She knew that if something doesn't change, man, she's gonna kill them or end up in jail or something because they're driving her crazy. So she calls the pastor for counsel. And she told the pastor what was going on, and the pastor said, well, here's what I think needs to happen. These boys need to learn the importance of integrity. It doesn't seem like they know what integrity is. So bring them in individually, one by one, and let me talk to them and help them to understand about integrity. I want to help them to understand that God sees everything because he's everywhere. He sees what they do before they even do it. He knows what they think before they think it. He hears what they speak before they speak it. God's everywhere. So I want to ask them simply, where's God? I want to teach them where God is. He's everywhere as the basis for integrity. So the mom brings in the first son, second son stays home. She brings in the first son. The first son goes in the pastor's office, and that can be a little intimidating, so the boy was terrified. He goes in, and he sits down, and the pastor wants to make his point, and he just asks simply, hey, son, where's God? And the boy was terrified, and he didn't say anything. He tried to figure out what the pastor was asking, where's God? So he didn't say anything. So the pastor got a little bark in his voice, and he said, where's God? And the boy was still terrified, so he didn't say anything. Finally, the pastor stands up, slams his hand on the desk, said, son, where's God? The boy jumps up, jets out of the office, runs all the way home, bursts in the door, goes right to his brother's bedroom, and he says, hey, God's missing, and they think we got him. Now, here's the thing, right? God's not missing. We know that, but integrity sure is, isn't it? I mean, man, our world lacks integrity. It is such a rare find. Finding someone with integrity is about as rare as hen's teeth. right? I mean, integrity, we're going to define integrity. If you look up in a dictionary, you look up dictionary.com or you look up any dictionary, you're going to see a theme if you look up several. The theme of integrity is completeness or wholeness. And the idea is that your life is complete and whole, meaning that what you do in private matches what you do in public. That you're complete, you're whole, you're consistent. That's the theme of integrity. But I really don't need to define integrity for you because you all know what it is because you've seen so much about what it's not, right? I mean, we see so many examples that drive us crazy because we see a lack of integrity. We long for integrity. And so we're doing this 4-week series. We're calling it Integrity 101. Now we're calling it Integrity 101 because it comes from Psalm 101. Each week we're going to read that Psalm because it's an incredible Psalm that written by King David that outlines for us the basics of integrity. That's also why we're calling it 101, Psalm 101. But when you go to college, if some of you are there now, some of you remember going, when you go to college, you will engage in your first year. My daughter is in her second semester, getting ready to start her second semester, and she's still taking 101 level classes. Why are they called 101 level classes? Because that's where you begin. That's the basics. Those classes give you the building blocks of a foundation for the rest of that subject matter as you progress and matriculate through college. And so what we're gonna look at in Psalm 101 is we're going to look at the basics, the foundational building blocks that will help you lay a great foundation for a life of integrity. Now, this is the most important class or one of the most important classes you'll ever take, because that's what we're gonna do. We're gonna take you to college and you are gonna learn these building blocks, and this is gonna be one of the most important classes you ever take. Why? Because if you fail Integrity 101, you're going to fail in life. There's no way to really succeed and leave a lasting impact without integrity. And so this is one of the most important classes you're ever going to take. And so the subject matter is very important, and we want you to take notes and we want you to journal. And so what we've done, when you come in, there was tables out in the front and they had composition books on those tables. Grab one. If you don't have a journal, you can use your own journal. It doesn't matter what you use. But here's what we want you to do at the start of a new year. This stuff is so important that we want you to take notes. We want you to take notes when you come to church. We want you to take notes in worship. We want you to take notes. And man, it's not just notes that I bring to you. It's not just the points of the sermon or whatever. Man, we may be singing a song. And man, you're sitting there singing a song and you're singing about Jordan read Romans 8:28. You're singing about for God's glory and your good. And it may have connected with you that God's in charge of everything. Nothing is arbitrary. All things work together for good. And you might just write that down. It's like, I need to remember that. You know, I was having my quiet time yesterday and I'm going through a two-year chronological Bible reading plan. And I'm reading in Genesis where it said, talked about Moses and how Moses, Moses was in this wicked world, and I'm reading about the flood, and it jumped off the page at me where it said that Noah was righteous in this generation. And man, I wrote that in my journal because I'm thinking, what? That's incredible because we live in a dark world. Noah lived in a really dark world. It was so dark, God destroyed it. And Noah was righteous that generation. You can be righteous in this generation. And you can make an incredible impact. And I wrote that down, right? And so write your stuff down. So we got composition books back in the back. You can grab one on your way out. If you didn't grab one on your way in, bring it with you to church. Take notes in it. Take it home when you do your Bible reading. Take notes in your Bible reading and begin to journal what God's doing. Doing that or doing your own journal, it really doesn't matter. But as we go through this Integrity 101, these are foundational basic principles. So man, begin to take notes so that it can begin to get in your mind and change how you live. Let me give you an overview of God's word when it comes to integrity. I mean, God's word is full of challenges and promises and warnings concerning integrity. Let me just give you a snapshot, just basic verses. Proverbs 2:7, look at what it says. It says, he stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity. Wow, I love that because God promises for those who walk in integrity, he's a shield. I want God to be my shield. And God is a shield for those who walk in integrity. Look at what it says in Proverbs 10:9. Whoever walks in integrity walks securely. But he who makes his way crooked will be found out. Listen, truth's always going to come out. You're going to be found out. You can't hide a lack of integrity. But if you walk with integrity, you walk securely. Look at Proverbs 11:3. The integrity of the upright guides them, but the crookedness of the treacherous destroys them. Man, if you're going on a rock climbing deal or if you're going on a hike through the Amazon or whatever, you want a guide because there's a lot of things that can jump out and bite you and kill you, right? You need to be guided through that. And that's what integrity does through life. It guides you through life, but wickedness is going to come to your own end. Wickedness, you're going to be eaten alive, right? That's what the Bible promised, crookedness. Proverbs 19:1. Better is a poor person who walks in integrity than one who is crooked in speech and is a fool. Man, I know that right now, if I were to ask you, what's the greatest thing? What could I give you today that would make a difference in your life? Probably money would jump off the page, right? I mean, man, we all want $1 million. We all want to win the lottery. We all want, man, that windfall to come in from somewhere. We want money. But here's the thing. The Bible tells us that above everything, you should crave integrity. Above money. He says, the Bible tells us that money is more important. I mean, that integrity is more important in your life than money because you can't buy integrity. You can't buy it. And so it says, Proverbs 27, the righteous who walks in his integrity, blessed are his children after him. Bible tells us that the greatest thing you can leave your kids is not a big bank account. The greatest thing you can leave your kids is a legacy of integrity. Man, it doesn't say not to leave your kids money. Actually, scripture talks about leaving inheritance to your kids. And I think that's fine. But I think the greatest inheritance is integrity. Actually, there are studies that proven that if you leave your kids a lot of money, man, that's negative. It's going to destroy them, right? It's integrity that's what they need. You can leave them $1 million and they can blow it. You can leave them integrity and they'll never forget it. Integrity. The righteous who walks in integrity, Proverbs 27, blessed are his children after him. Psalm 41:12, but you have upheld me because of my integrity and set me in your presence forever. God's upheld me because of my integrity. See, the Bible's full of promises, challenges, warnings about integrity. These are just a very few. And for time's sake, here's what I want you to do. You can go and take your journal and look up the word integrity in the scripture and begin to write down and read those verses so that it can begin to change your mind and be in the thought process about integrity. And so what I want you to do is that's some homework for your class. Of integrity 101 is go look up integrity in the scripture, see what the scripture says, begin to read some of those verses. Now in Psalm 101:2, the psalmist, who is David, according to most scholars and commentators, they believe that this is David. And in Psalm 101:2, David declares, I will walk with integrity in my house. Now, when I read that and studied, there was two things that immediately jumped off the page. Two things that immediately jumped off the page. I thought, wow, that's cool. One is David said, I will. If you want to walk with integrity, you're going to have to declare and be determined because integrity doesn't just happen. You don't just wake up one day and have integrity. You know, it's not like when you're a 12-year-old boy, and I remember, and some of you remember being a 12-year-old boy. Some of you can't even remember that far back, but I remember being about a 12-year-old boy. I woke up, man, I had my first whisker, and I woke up, wow, what's that? Oh, it's a whisker. It just happened. You know, that's not what integrity does. It doesn't just happen. You don't wake up and have it. You want integrity, you've got to be determined and you've got to make a declaration. I will, right? I will. That's what David does. I will walk blameless. I will be determined. Why? Because it's way too easy sometimes to be dishonest because it can get you ahead in the moment, you think. So it's easier to tell a lie sometimes than to tell the truth. It's easier sometimes to cheat to get ahead because no one will know. You know, it's easy sometimes to not be faithful. It's easy to do these things. And so how do you overcome these things? You won't unless you make a declaration. I will, and you be determined to do what it requires to build the foundation of a life of integrity. David says, I will. Today, that's what I want to challenge you, that if you're going to live a life of integrity, it's going to take determination and will. So you better declare today, 2025, the beginning, I will begin to build a foundation for a life of integrity. I will do this. I will watch what I put before my eyes. I will watch the words that come out my mouth. I will watch who I hang out with and who influences me. I will do these things to build this life of integrity. So that's the first thing that pops off the page. The second thing that pops off the page is he said, I will walk with integrity in my house, in my house. What does he mean by that? Well, what he's talking about is my private life is going to match my public life. I'm not going to live one way in public and one way in private. I'm going to be a consistent whole person, which is what integrity is, right? He says, I'm going to be determined to not live a duplicitous life. This is no game. I'm not going to play with it. So how I am at home is how I'm going to be in public. How I am in public is how I'm going to be at home. Right? I'm not going to be a hypocrite. Now, the word hypocrite comes from this Greek word that means actor. Now, you know what an actor is, right? An actor is someone who's playing a part. An actor plays a part, and we like actors in movies. I mean, man, there are some really good actors, and I appreciate really good actors. I mean, man alive, Doc Holliday. I mean, listen, Val Kilmer, there's no better Doc Holliday than Val Kilmer, right? I love In the Tombstone. Wow. I mean, man, I mean, William Wallace. Wow. Mel Gibson made a great William Wallace. I love that kind of acting. But what we hate, man, what we hate is when someone that we work with is an actor, a hypocrite. Or when someone in our house is an actor, a hypocrite. One of our friends is an actor, a hypocrite. We despise that because you can't trust that, right? And so we don't want to be hypocritical. We don't want to be duplicitous. We want to have a life that's consistent, a life that's whole, a life where my actions at home match my actions in public. And, you know, that's what you've heard maybe character, right? Character is what you do when no one's looking. That basically sums up integrity. That basically sums up integrity. And so are we going to have a life of integrity? And so today I want to finish up in the next few minutes looking at two foundational blocks that I think is implicit in what David is saying that will help you build this life of integrity. Now as we kick off this series, what I want you to understand, some series that we preach are very, very theological. Because we want to challenge you theologically. That's my job as your pastor. I want to challenge you theologically. Some series are very, very, very practical. Now, all series have an element of both. We don't want to ever preach theology without how to apply it, right? And we don't want to ever tell you, we're not here to give you, you know, therapeutic sessions that without theology as a basis. So we want to have both. But this is going to be a very, very practical sermon series, okay? That's going to help you learn how to live life, build a foundation for a life of integrity. And so here's what we're going to do. We're going to look at two things here. One, the first is to live in God's word. If you're going to have this life of integrity, you're going to have to be determined, I will live in God's word. I will live in God's word. Verse 2, he said, I will ponder the way that is blameless. I will ponder the way that is blameless. Now, what's he talking about? Ponder means to think about, right? It means to continually roll it over in your mind and to think about it. What is the way that is blameless? Well, the way that is blameless, where do you find that way? Well, you're not going to find it, you know, on a blog somewhere. You're not going to find it on Instagram. You're not going to find it on X. You're not going to find it on YouTube. You're not going to find it in the locker room, I promise, the way that is blameless. You're not going to find it in so many things that influence you. Where do you find it? Well, there's only one way that is blameless, and that's God's way. And where is that way written? It's the Bible. It's the Bible. Now, we believe here at LifePoint, maybe you're new to LifePoint, maybe you're new to church. Here's what we believe with certainty, that the Bible, this book, is the word of God. Now, that means it contains the words of God, which means that it's the way that is blameless, which means that there is no error in this Bible. There's no error in this book. There's no mistakes. There's no, oh man, I messed that up. It's so good that God wrote it, it's written over a period of thousands of years. I mean, it was written over a period of 1,500 years, but it was written thousands of years ago, and it is just as applicable to in 2025 AD as it was in 2025 BC. I mean, it's like, wow, that's God's word. If I write you an email that's three paragraphs, there's going to be 40 mistakes in that email probably. I mean, you know, I'm not omniscient, right? Omniscient means that I know everything. Are you knowing every, all knowing? God is omniscient. He knows everything. That's why his word is absolute truth. He knew in 2025 AD what was going to be happening in 2025 BC, what was going to happen in 2025 AD. It all applies because God knows everything. I don't. I make a lot of mistakes. You write an Instagram post, you write a blog, you're going to make all kinds of mistakes. There's none in God's word. It's 100% true. It's 100% accurate. It's the words of God. God, that's why this is our textbook, the Bible, for this series and for life, actually. And if you don't have a Bible, you need to get a Bible. If you can't afford a Bible, we'll give you a Bible. All right, there's plenty on your phone. I mean, man, I've got so many Bible apps on my phone, and they're great, and I use them on planes and stuff like that, but we also want you to have a real hard copy Bible that you mark up, that you write notes in. When I die, I'm hoping that my kids fight over my Bible, right? I mean, now I've tried to solve that by having a few Bibles, and I'll have a quiet time in one, and next year I'll have a quiet time in another. So, and I'll take notes, and also that they'll have plenty to share, but I'd rather for them to fight over my Bible than my truck. Matter of fact, I'm gonna wear my truck out, and they're not gonna want my truck. That's my goal. So I want them to fight over my Bible, right? Because it's the textbook for life. And so the Bible is your textbook because it's God's word, and God is the creator of everything. Think about it. Genesis 1, in the way that is blameless, in God's word, he says, in the beginning, God created. God created everything that exists out of nothing. It's called ex nihilo. He created everything out of nothing. He didn't go to Home Depot and get the wood and build. He just spoke it and there it was. He created everything out of nothing. So he has the right to tell us how that works. He knows he created it, so he knows how it works best. So he knows how marriage works. Why? Because he's the creator of marriage. He gets to define marriage because he knows he created marriage. He knows how it works best. So when I look at the way that it's blameless about marriage, you know what it does? Man, it rubs up against the way I want it to be sometimes. And sometimes I'll try to do it my way, and man, that always creates a smack, right? I mean, honest smacking me. And so she really doesn't. She wants to a lot, though, because when I do it my way. But the way that it's blameless is God's way. And when I do it God's way, it's beautiful. You know, he tells us about money. He created economy. He created commerce. He created finances, principles. He knows how they best work. So he gets to tell us how to do it. When I do it my way, I end up in debt over my eyeballs. I end up stressed out. And just look at the world. We're going to do it the way that it's blameless, or we're going to do it God's way. He tells us about relationships and forgiveness, about parenting. You name it, God created it. And so he has the right to tell us how to do it. Over and over in his word, he talks about what comes out our mouth. He talks about the importance of our words. He talks about the importance of being honest. God is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Truth brings life. Lying brings death. Deceit brings death. Deceit, lies. There's no such thing, folks, as a white lie. We don't get to determine the marker to where it's okay to this point. A deceit, any kind of a lie is against the character of who God is because he's truth. So that's the way that it's blameless. So truth brings life, lies bring death. Lies bring the death of marriages. Why? Because they kill trust. Lies bring the death of relationships because who wants to be around and friends with someone you can't trust? Lies kill your witness. Lies kill your testimony. Lies kill your reputation. Right? So God, over and over and over and over, just read the Proverbs, read his word. It says he abhors lies. He abhors a deceitful tongue. Seven things the Lord hates. He lies. I mean, God is clear about our tongue and what comes out our mouth, right? Over and over, the scripture talks about God's faithfulness. God is faithful. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He's faithful to keep his promises. He's faithful. We should be faithful. It's part of a life of integrity. Where's that? It's in the way that it's blameless. We should be faithful to our spouse. We should be faithful to our friends. We should be faithful to our employer. We should live lives that are faithful. Over and over, God talks about what the people we hang out with. Bad company corrupts good morals. Why? Because who we hang out with shapes how we literally view the world. It shapes our worldview. Who we hang out with has massive influence in our lives. So who we hang out with is important. Over and over, it talks about what we put in our eyes. Why? Because what we look at in the world determines how we look at the world. And so these are all in the way that it's blameless. And folks, we can't live a life of integrity just by white-knuckling it. We're not talking about behavior modification. It would be cool if I said, now you've got to have this I will determination, right? I mean, you've got to work out your salvation. You've got to have this I will determination. But then your I will determination is to ponder the way that is blameless. And then God begins to take that word that he inspired. You see, here's what happened when he wrote the word. This is why it's beautiful. And this is why it's perfect. It was written over a period of 1,500 years by over 40 different authors. By 40 different authors over 1,500 years on three different continents. Man, those authors were people that they were rich and they were poor, they were kings, and they were peasants, they were men, they were women, they were from all walks of life, and it all tells one story. How is that true? Why? Because God is the author. Now, Paul sat down and wrote. He took a pen, a quill, and he wrote the letters with his hand. And so did Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Moses, he wrote, and that all their personality is seen in how they wrote. But God used their personality and their hand to write his word. There's nothing in there because it's called the inspiration of Scripture. God inspired it to where it is his word. Now, when I come down and read it, he not only inspired the writing of it, when I come and read it, it's called illumination. He pops it off the page. And I begin to understand it. Right? And so my will and my determination is that I will ponder the way that is blameless. And then God's going to take that word and begin to shape how I think. And it's going to begin to build this foundation block of integrity. So it's not just a white knuckle. I'm going to be a man of integrity, because then you're going to be a man of integrity until bam, all of a sudden, if I tell this lie right here, I can get ahead and I can get a bonus. Nobody's going to know it. Listen, no bonus is worth your integrity. No bonus is worth a lie. No bonus is worth your reputation, folks. Always tell the truth. I tell my kids, man, I've got a lot of them. And I tell my kids, I've told every one of them. I said, look, you're going to make a lot of mistakes. Your daddy did. You're going to make a lot of mistakes. You're going to do a lot of stupid stuff. I mean, you're going to do a lot of stuff that makes people go, what in the world are you doing? You're going to do a lot of crazy stuff. And here's what I promise you. When you come in, if you'll tell me the truth about it, I'll be right by your side through all of it. But if you lie to me about it, I'll let you burn. I promise. I'm going to show you one way or the other. If you lie to me about it, I'll let you burn with it. But if you tell me the truth, I'm with you the whole way. I'm trying to teach my kids integrity and don't ever lie. Don't ever lie. And so this is the homework. The homework that I want to give you today, here's your homework for the class, is, man, you got to live in God's word. Live in God's word. Live in God's word. Take the Bible. Get a Bible. If you don't have one, we'll give you one. If you can't afford one, we'll sell you one. If you can buy one, take the word and get in the word. 25 and 25. That's how, write that down. 25 and 25. I want to challenge you to study God's word, to read God's word, to memorize God's word, to be in God's word 25 minutes a day in 2025. 25 minutes a day in 2025. Just write that down, and we've got all kind of Bible reading plans on our website. You can go to LifePT or Life Point Church. Both those are our domain, .org/Bible/Bible, okay? And when you go there, there's all kind of reading plans. And or just go to the website. If you forget that, type in reading plan. There's all kind of reading plans. I chose one this year. Sometimes I try to read the Bible through in a year. Sometimes, I want to do the New Testament. This year, I'm doing a two-year, or the next 2 years, I've chosen to do a two-year chronological plan. I love going through the Bible chronologically. I'm doing a two-year chronological reading plan that has a psalm and a proverb every day. So we've got all kind of plans because there's no one-size-fits-all. Some of you may say, I want to stay in the New Testament all year. Great, we got one of those. Some of you may say, I want to read the Bible all the way through. Great, we got one of those. So go get in a Bible reading plan. Take your composition book. If you don't have a journal, your journal. Read the Bible. Write down what it says. 25 minutes in 2025. And if you'll do that, by the time you get to the end of this year, man, that building block, that foundation, you'll be amazed at how God's going to begin to shape your mind by the word that you read. Live in God's word. Live in God's word. Live in God's word. Now, here's number two. Number next is live with God's people. Live in God's word. Live with God's people. You know, in our Western culture, we've become so individualistic and isolated, haven't we? I mean, that's sort of a virtue today, is becoming individualistic and isolated. That's not the way God created the world. That's not really the way we were designed to live, as individual isolated. I mean, we've got more friends than ever. You know, I got on Facebook, man, and I've got thousands of friends on Facebook. I don't hardly know any of them. You know that? And that's what friends are today. They're virtual. I got more friends than ever, but man, in our world today, we got more friends than ever, but we've got less community than ever. And we ache for community, and we long for it. And many Christians, the sad thing is many Christians have adopted this isolated individualism into their walk with Christ. That's what we see, this isolated individualism. For instance, let me give you some statements that are hilariously inaccurate. And I say hilariously inaccurate because it doesn't take really a lot to tell that these are inaccurate. Let me give you some statements of individualism and isolation that sound really good, but they're incredibly inaccurate. One is, we can be a Christian without going to church. Now, technically, is that true? Yes. The gospel is that you're saved by Jesus, okay? That's the gospel, that it's one of the solas, right? Sola Christus, which is Jesus only. So technically, is that true? Yes. Biblically, is it accurate? No. If you're a true believer, you're going to want to go to church. So technically, yes, gospel-centered, it's only Jesus. But if you're a true believer, that's biblically not accurate. Here's another one. We love Jesus, just not the church. That's an oxymoron. That's an oxymoron. You know that the church is the bride of Christ. Jesus died for the church. Jesus loves the church. Jesus cares for the church. And if you're a Christian, then you're going to love the church. Now, the church is messy. The church is messed up, but so is your house. So is your work. So is everything else you do, because we live in a broken world. But no, I love Jesus, not the church. Here's one that's laughable. Don't go to church, be the church. Boy, that sounds really cool and good, doesn't it? Only problem is you can't be the church, because the church is not a person. The church is the people of God. You can't be the church outside of the body of Christ, because that's what the church is. So this individual, isolated, the Bible knows nothing of Lone Ranger Christianity. Christianity is not an individual sport. It is a team sport. It's a team sport. You can't succeed in Christianity without the team, right? I mean, listen, I'm a football guy. So, you know, there's endless debates about who's the best, who's the best. Well, you know, there's this endless debate. Who was the greatest quarterback? If you ask anybody in Tennessee, people's going to say Peyton Manning. I don't see the world through orange-colored glasses. I'm a huge UT fan, but I'm also realistic. Peyton Manning is not the greatest quarterback. He should have won the Heisman Trophy, but it's really, I don't know if it's even debatable that Tom Brady's the greatest quarterback ever. That's just probably settled. And I don't want to say that because I'm a Tom Brady fan, but I'm realistic. Peyton Manning was really good. But let me tell you, as good as Brady was, you put him out on the field and you take his offensive line away and he's going to be beat silly, right? You take his receivers away, you take his running backs away. I mean, man, you take his offensive coordinator away, he's nothing, because he had to have all those people in order to be great, right? And that's the way it is with our Christianity. It doesn't matter how much Bible you know. It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. It doesn't matter how long you've walked with the Lord. It doesn't, if you're not a part of the body and living with God's people, then your growth is going to be stunted, your impact is going to be diminished, and your integrity is going to be questioned, right? And so we got to live in God's word, and we got to live with God's people. And, you know, this is not a new phenomenon, people coming to know Christ and then beginning to skip out on church. You know, I mean, we all know people. We all know that happens. And here at the beginning of a new year, this is great to challenge, man, let's set the course, right? Let's be determined, because we all know people that, man, they come to know Christ and they get involved in church. And the next thing we know, they become Bedside Baptists, right? They become Pillar Pentecostals. I mean, man, I'm staying at the house and all this kind of stuff, and or you know, man, it's weather might be bad. What if it starts raining when I'm in church? Or you know, little Timmy, he had a cough 3 weeks ago. I don't know if I need to go to church, you know, this week, or somebody in a, you know, there's all kind of excuses that we can come up with, and this is not new. Because we live in a fallen world. When we become believers, then we're invaded by the Holy Spirit. We become transformed. We become different, but we still have indwelling sin, and we still do battle with sin, and that sin is very selfish, and so this is not a new phenomenon. Even back 2,000 years ago, as the New Testament was being lived and written, as the church started, before the church even had a building, there were people starting to skip out on church. And the writer of Hebrews addressed that. And in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, here's what the writer said: "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works." How are we gonna do that? "Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some." Some people 2,000 years ago had already started skipping out on church, feeling like church is optional, feeling like, man, I can be the church. I don't have to go to church. Or I love Jesus, I don't love the church. That was going on back 2,000 years ago. The writer of Hebrews said, no, 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 no. Don't do that. Live in God's word and live with God's people. He says, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Now you see, many people would say, man, I don't need to go to church. I've heard that before. It's not just for you. It's how we stir one another up to good works. It's for God's glory. It is for your good. It's for the good of others. Look at Acts chapter 2. This is right after the church started. I mean, this is in the Genesis of the church. The church is in its infancy. I mean, it's a few days old, to be quite honest, really, and when this was written. Because in Acts 2, if you'll remember, Acts is the sequel to Luke's gospel. Luke writes the gospel about the life of Jesus. Then Jesus goes back to heaven, where he ascended back to heaven after his resurrection. And then Luke writes Acts. It's the acts of the Holy Spirit through the apostles as the church was being born, birthed, and then what happened in the early stages of infancy of the church. And here's what happened in Acts 2, the very front of this book, is the church, this brand new born baby, the church. And it says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. Now, what did the apostles teach? The apostles taught the way that is blameless, the word of God. So they devoted themselves to the word of God together and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and prayers. That's pretty simple. I really don't have to comment on that, do I? What they devoted themselves to, they were devoted to the teaching of God's word, to fellowship with other believers. You don't do that isolated. You don't do that, I'm so thankful, man. We got folks watching online from everywhere, and we want you to watch online, but man, we want you to be involved with a body of people because that's the way it's designed. And if you live in somewhere where there's not a LifePoint campus, then you give us a call or email and we'll help you plug into a church in that area so that you can spur one another on to good works and worship with the body of Christ, right? Acts 2:46, it says, and day by day, attending temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. So here's what we see. We see, if we look at the book of Acts in the infancy of the church, we see that these people that were saved, these people that come to know Jesus, they bound together as the people of God. They began as the church to meet corporately, just like we're doing today, for worship, for prayer, for singing. All the things that we do today, we don't just sing because, well, that's a pretty good filler to the message and we're trying to get you warmed up. No. That's thousands of years, this is part of the church liturgy. We sing songs and spiritual hymns and spiritual songs together because we're giving God glory. Man, we hear testimony about people. We sometimes we recite scripture together. We read scripture and we pray and we preach. This is liturgy in the church. We do that together, corporately. That's what we see. And so then they broke bread and they met in each other's homes. And so folks, we want you to get involved in a small group with a small group of people. There are many ways to do that. We got classes on campus. Man, we got classes on campus for multiple age groups. And I mean, you know, we've got classes for senior adults on campus. I mean, you know, we got to see Milt Owens, a guy over here, he's a senior adult almost. His wife is really young, but he'll teach. So he bridges all ages because he's got a young wife and he's old. So we got classes on campus. We want you to do home groups. We'll help you get in a home group. Man, we want you to, Rooted coming up, Peyton talked about. That's a great place to start. Maybe you'd say, man, I'm not connected. We want you to get connected. Help us help you, okay? Help us help you. Maybe you'd say, man, if you're a couple, you say, I want to be connected, then, man, come to us, and maybe you know a couple of other couples in the church. Let's start meeting together. Man, let's start doing life together. Let's pray together. Let's read the scripture together. Let us help you, because that's what we see in scripture. Because why is that? Because we meet together and we do life with people with common values. We do life with people that love the Lord. We do life with people that are studying the word together. And what we're doing, we're holding each other accountable so that, man, when I'm at work tomorrow and I've got an opportunity to do this and I'll get a bonus, but I know, hold on a minute, I'm gonna have to tell my guys about this. Whoa, it's accountability, isn't it? I will, it goes back to I will. I'm gonna be determined to live a life of integrity. If you're not in God's word and with God's people, that's gonna be very hard to do. So here's your second homework. The first is 25 and 25. 25 minutes a day, 25 in 2025. Here's the thing, be here this year. Be here this year. In other words, be in church, live with God's people this year, coming to corporate worship, getting involved with groups of people. Be here this year. Be here this year. If you'll do those two things, man, the integrity of heart is gonna be developed. We're gonna proceed over the next 3 weeks. We're gonna talk about three other aspects. We're gonna talk about what comes out of our mouth, because the psalmist does. The psalmist does. David, he talks about what comes out of our mouth. We're gonna talk about what we put before our eyes, because the psalmist does. We're gonna talk about who we hang out with, because the psalmist does. But all of that is gonna come from a heart that's developed. And how's the heart gonna be developed? Through living in God's word, living with God's people. And man, you'll begin to have this impact that you will never even know how far and wide it goes. You wanna leave an impact? Quit thinking about the world stage and having millions of followers and being YouTube influencer, you know, an Instagram influencer. Quit thinking about that. Those things are flash and pan, they're gone. You live a life of integrity, and man, you will have an impact that will far outlive you. It won't be a flash in the pan. It'll be a lasting impact that your kids and your grandkids will never forget, and it'll keep going generation to generation. Why? Because that's one of the promises of the Lord, principles of the Lord. So if you don't know the Lord today, we would love to help you know how to give your life to Christ. If you're watching online, you today feel like, man, something's happening. I don't know, but I need... Text the word Jesus to the number on the screen. 1, if you live out of the country, 615, if you're in the United States, 551-9800, and we will be in touch with you and tell you how to give your life with Christ. If you're in a room, we're here. You come back, man, and we want to help you to understand how to have an impact, and it's going to begin with giving your life to Christ. And the only way to do that, it's not words I say. If you're feeling a little something today, it's because the Holy Spirit is working on you, bringing conviction. Come back and let us talk to you. If you're in a room, man, 25 and 25. Be here this year. If you're not doing some of that, you need to be determined to do that. Grab your journal as you go out, get a journal, get a Bible. If you are doing those things, that's awesome. Then bring someone else along with you. Then start leading a group. If you're doing those, you should be leading a group, to be honest. You should be leading a group of people. Bring someone else along with you. Listen, we don't have ads on TV and billboards. That's not what we spend our money on. We sort of follow what Jesus did. You know, when Jesus jetted back to heaven, what he did is he didn't tell them to go out and buy this marketing plan with TV ads and billboards and, you know, all that. What did he say? He passed the ball to them and said, take it and run. That's what we do. Man, we're counting on you. We take it and run. Get out amongst your circles of influence and invite people. Do that this month and let that be normative for you throughout the year, and see what God begins to do, the impact you'll begin to have. So Micah Jordan, our team's coming to lead. And so as we sing out one more song, I wanna pray. If you wanna give your life to Christ, you come back and talk to us. Man, if anything in a message, you respond how God has led you. That's the great thing. The Holy Spirit leads you right where you are. He knows you exactly where you are, a lot better than we do. And so he's leading you. You respond how God has led you to respond. Father, we love you. Thank you for your amazing grace. Thank you for the way that is blameless. Help us to ponder that. Help us to think about it. Help us to study it. Help us to live in it. I pray that we'd make a commitment, 25 minutes a day. Lord, for some people, they'll go an hour and 25. That's great. I'm not trying to limit people. God, I'm just trying to get people to start somewhere. God, I 25 at least. I should go back, Lord, and say that. At least 25 minutes in 2025. And God, I pray that people would be in your word. I pray that, God, people would live not only in your word, but live with God's people, seeing the importance of church. God, the church is a messy place. God, the church is made up of broken people. I'm a broken person. God, I make mistakes. I'll let these people down. Lord, they'll let me down. We'll let each other down. That's because we have indwelling sin. But God, thank you that you have redeemed us, that you're molding us and making us into something new. God, I pray, Father, I pray that, Lord, people would love the church. Being with God's people, bring that within our souls and within our hearts. God, I pray that 2025 would be the greatest year ever for this church, because it would be the greatest year ever for the people who make up this church, because we commit to live in God's word and live with God's people. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, church, man, I love you. I hope you come back. Bring someone with you. Let's stand. Micah, Jordan, and team's going to lead us right now, and they'll dismiss you.